Are you the same person no matter where you are? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
That you're the same person at church as you are at home. And I know, you know, we're more comfortable at home. I'm not going to walk in here in my underwear and my socks, you know. But sometimes, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, you're still who you are. A preacher is not what you do, it's who you are, I was told. And a Christian is not what I do. I don't do church. I don't do Christianity. It's who I am. For no longer do I live, Paul said, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live for his glory. So God wants us to be blameless, not just at church or on the job, but at home.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Imagine yourself in this scene. Your car needs a new engine, and there are two mechanics in town. One has been in business for 20 years. The other has been in business for 20 days. Who do you choose? Experience is usually a good thing when it comes to auto repair, and it's also a good thing when it comes to the lessons of life. That's today on The Dwelling Place. Thanks for joining us today as we begin another broadcast of The Dwelling Place. Today, we'll bring you a study in Psalms 100 and 101. These two beautiful psalms express love for God and at the same time, personal strife. Pastor Al begins today in Psalm 100, verse 5.
Five puts it very simply and succinctly. It says, for three reasons. Number one, the Lord is good. Number two, his mercy is everlasting. And then number three, his truth endures to all generations. Isn't that a reason to praise him? Isn't that a reason to come in and stir yourself up? Isn't that a reason to ascribe to the Lord, you know, strength and glory? Because of all of those, Lord, you are everything I need. You're good, you're merciful. And your truth never fades. It endures to all generations. One commentator writes, our hope is in God's faithfulness that he will keep his promises, pardon, deliver, cleanse, and give us rest in his kingdom forever. Boy, isn't that what we're all here for? Hoping in God's promises, trusting that God, you, will deliver me because you're good. You will pardon me because you're merciful. That your truth, Lord, will last forever, which promises me rest in your kingdom forever. Now we move on to Psalm 101. And it says it's simply a psalm of David. This psalm describes the rightful conduct of an Israelite king. It's a great psalm of instruction. This psalm is ascribed to King David. It is regarded by some as the portrait of the ideal ruler or leader. So if you're in leadership or whatever, this is a great psalm to go back and reflect upon. There are four leadership qualities found here. In verse 1, he defines the essence of godly leadership. Leadership which rejoices in mercy and justice. And when you think about leadership, it has to have those two qualities, mercy, but also justice. You can't have one and the other. You have just justice, it's all legalism. You burn people out. You're a perfectionist, and people hate to be around you. If it's all mercy, you'll never get anything done because people will use you. Amen. You got to have mercy, and you got to have justice working together. Now, some people may think, well, I'm not in leadership, so I can just leave early tonight. No, you can't. Because if you're a witness for Jesus, you're a leader. I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Your kids are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. You may have neighbors like me, and they may not like you, but, I mean, they're watching you still. People at work are watching you. You're leading somebody. You're a witness for somebody. You're leading somebody someplace. You're leading them to Christ or away from Christ because of your hypocrisy. So we're all leaders when you think about it. So this is for all of us. And here's the four qualities that we want to go over here. But we should read the psalm first. I'm going to do it a few verses at a time. Verse 1, I will sing of mercy and justice. That's the essence of this leadership. And then he says, to you, O Lord, I will sing praises. And then he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Wow. That word perfect, as it says in your Bible, I'm sure it means blameless. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, but you're blameless. You know, you may hurt somebody's feelings, but it wasn't your intention to. You're blameless. And when you find out about it, you go and you ask for forgiveness. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a blameless or perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. The Bible says that God has no pleasure in the backslider. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Number one, a leader must give attention to personal purity. And so must every believer. He says, oh, when will you come to me? Literally, he's saying, unless you come to me, I cannot keep one of these resolutions. Lord, I need your help. I think any smart leader, any Christian, godly leader understands, I can't do it myself. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, O Lord. And then the latter part of verse 2 is, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And then all the way down to verse 4, he talks about not setting anything before his eyes. And then in verse 4, he says, a perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. You see, it's one thing to walk in church or in public with an upright heart, because we can fool some of the people some of the time. But quite another to walk perfectly or blameless, to have a blameless heart at home. Woo! To walk blameless in my household at home. You know, ministers really have to be careful, because, you know, you get up here and you can become a sermon machine. You can become have a PhD in hermeneutics. You can pump out messages, and God will always bless his word, so that a lot of times people won't know, and then leave here and go home and be abusive to their spouses. And it happens all the time. And they're walking blamelessly before everybody else. Every time you see them, talking to a sister the other day, she said, I used to run into this preacher. Every time I saw him in the store, you run into him, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, you know, just kind of real hyper, God, hallelujah, you know. And it's like, you know, brother, just hello would suffice. You know, but he had to be hyper spiritual, show her that he was blameless, that he was spiritual, and he and his wife aren't together anymore. You see, it's one thing to, you know, to show up here looking blameless or at work. What God wants to see is what we're doing at home. Because the Bible says he desires truth. Psalm 51, David said, in the inward parts. Amen? So you're the same person at church as you are at home. And I know, you know, we're more comfortable at home. I'm not going to walk in here in my underwear and my socks, you know. But sometimes, you know, you got to be careful. I mean, you still, who you are. A preacher is not what you do, it's who you are, I was told. And a Christian is not what I do. I don't do church. I don't do Christianity. It's who I am. For no longer do I live, Paul said, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I live for his glory. So God wants us to be blameless, not just at church or on the job, but at home. And this is a great verse to memorize. Actually, verse 3 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. A great verse to memorize in this, in our society today, given to voyeurism. I mean, we've just got a camera in everybody's bedroom and everything else, and everybody's got a reality show. George Foreman's got a reality show now. I don't know. Just come to my house. You won't see reality. I'll show you reality, you know. But everybody's got a, you know, it's a voyeuristic society. But the Bible says, be careful. Don't set before your eyes that which is wicked. That word wicked also means any base thing, B-A-S-E, any worthless thing, or any villainous thing. that has any extreme wickedness or depravity. Pornography. Anything that will draw us away from the Lord. But it's not just pornography. It could be anything. Something, you know, we have to be careful what we watch. Guard your eyes. We have to be careful more now than ever before because we've got internet. All, you know, back in the old days when I was a kid, you had three channels. Two came in real good, and then you get the real fuzzy one where you had to kind of turn the knob kind of halfway where kind of you got it a little bit, you know. That's all we had. And our parents were yelling at us then about watching too much television. Now you've got, you know, watch some of these commercials. You can sign up today for the satellite thing and get 900 channels. I'm thinking, my goodness. Who's got time to watch 900 channels, you know? But, oh, got to get the 300-channel package, you know. Nothing wrong with satellite TV and all that. You know, I've got satellite TV. But you know what? Got to be monitored. God's got to have lordship over those things that we see. And when we find ourselves caught up in those things, we need to repent. Not argue with God. Say, it's just entertainment. We need to repent. We know when God's convicted our hearts, don't we? Wife walks in the room, we change the channel. God's convicting us. If your kids can't walk in over here and watch it with you, then maybe you shouldn't be watching it. We have to be careful. I get convicted when I say those things, but it's true. Because God desires truth in the inward parts. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, Jesus said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light."
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message from Psalm 100. When you support this radio outreach, you fulfill the most important aspect of receiving from the Lord, which is passing on that encouragement to others. The Dwelling Place is sharing the gospel message throughout the land, thanks to you. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now, once again, here's our teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, to bring us the second half of today's study in Psalm 100.
Scripture tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word, O God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." So let God's word, don't get legalistic about it, but let his word guide you. Let his word purify you and regulate your eyes and your heart. A godly leader must guard his or her eyes, giving attention to personal purity. And as leaders, we can take people. This is always something I'm reminded of as the pastor of this church. You can take people no further than you've gone yourself.
How come the folks won't grow?
Are you growing? It always comes back to me. Not that I regulate the growth of the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us. But if you're leading people, you can take them no further than you've gone yourself. If we're leading our families, y'all get on in the car and go on to church. I'll be right here. They will go no further than you. Or on the job or whatever. Keep that in mind. Here's the second leadership principle here. A leader must be a person not given to slander. The first part of verse 5, he says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy." Wow. And so a leader's not given to slander, repeating everything that they hear and that they've heard, or a juicy bit of gossip, you know. Why don't you look at Psalm 15 real quick? We can turn over there real fast. Psalm 15, same book. Another Psalm of David. And he says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill?" And then drop down to verse 3 real quick. He says, "He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so, so-and-so? Yeah, man, boy, really? Is that right? Oh, man, you know, without checking it out or anything. And the Lord says back here in Psalm 101, which is Leadership 101. I just noticed that. That's awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. This is Leadership 101. That a leader must be a person not given to slander. And then the third principle here for leadership of a perfect king is a leader must be a person of humility. The latter part of verse 5, he says, the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. God said, I won't put up with it. Pride. And pride always comes before the fall. God said, I won't put up with it. That proud look. And then Luke 18, verse 14, of course, Jesus said, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God cannot lift and exalt proud people. Not getting that promotion on your job, maybe it's because of pride. Because God will not exalt pride, proud people. Those who are his people. I mean, some people in the world get promotions, they don't give God glory or honor or whatever, but the rain comes from that God that comes from God falls on the good and the evil. They just don't acknowledge it before his people who know better. God is saying, if you want to be exalted, you must humble yourself. Because if you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. If you humble yourself, then I'm able to exalt you. And what God exalts, he sustains. Amen. Here's the fourth principle here from Psalm 101. A leader must surround themselves with people of integrity. I think I said there were four principles. There's actually five. People of integrity, verse 6 and 7. He says, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Me is not capitalized, speaking, the king speaking here, David speaking here. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. That is, he who desires he who does not have truth dwelling within the inward parts, he's not going to dwell, continue in my presence. He's not going to remain a part of my team, if you will. A leader must surround himself with people of integrity. Say, you're no better than the people you surround yourself with when you're in leadership. And Acts chapter 6, verse 3 says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men. There in Acts, they had a situation where they needed men to wait tables to actually serve the people while the apostles gave themselves to the word of God in prayer. Many of you remember the story. And he said, let's seek out from among us seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Men of integrity, people of integrity. Don't just pick out anybody. We don't need a warm body. But people who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who are committed to the things of God and have a proven track record, that is, who are of a good reputation. Deceitful individuals need not apply. Sooner or later, who they really are will show up. And I've seen it time and time again. And we have a wonderful staff here, so I'm not talking about anybody. So who's Pastor L talking about? You know, no, we have a wonderful staff. But I've got a 6-month rule. When people come in, Pastor, I'm so glad to be here. You first hire them. You know, I'm so glad to be here. Oh, what do you want me to do? You want me to clean toilets? Oh, whatever, man. I'm just so glad. You know, they're hugging me all the time. Oh, I'm just so glad to be here. Okay. Just watch them. 3 months, you know, they're starting to cool off. But inevitably, that 6 month, it's when that month number 6 comes. In that 6th month, who they really are shows up. And that's why a lot of times we tell people, you know, they come to the church, say, we want to get involved. I just came from this church, and now we're over here, and we're people who like to get involved, you know. And we want to get involved in something. Let us get involved, you know. Oh, yeah, great, that's fine. Just sit for 6 months. Get fed. Because I know in 6 months I'm going to say something that's going to really make you mad. And yeah, 6 months of sermons, that's enough, you know. You're gonna get mad and storm out, you know. I'm going to disagree with you on something. You're going to find some disagreement somewhere. Someone in the church is going to offend you in 6 months. And it takes about that long. And then we tell them after 6 months, okay, fill out a volunteer application. Get involved. Because you got to have buy-in. Because people go to churches like a revolving door. Say something, offend them. They're easily offended, and they're gone. And we let them come and go. They're coming. They're here a couple of weeks. Well, I don't see them, you know. We care about you, but, you know, if you're going to be a part of what God's doing here, you've got to have buy-in. So we ask them to be here for at least 6 months. But I've seen people, you know, with pastors and people who have a zeal to serve the Lord and, you know, come in 6 months, man. Just almost like clockwork. And I'm glad to say the people who are here now, some who have been with me for 10 years, still serving the Lord with zeal. I've been here for more than 6 months, some of them for years, and we have a great team here. But a leader surrounds himself or herself with people of integrity. And then lastly, a leader must be a person of justice. Verse 8 of Psalm 101, "Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord." All the evildoers, when Jesus returns, will be cut off from his city. And so he says in verse 1 as well, that's why I sing. I will sing of mercy and justice. My God is a God of mercy, but he also is a God of justice. So a leader is a person who believes in justice, not just fairness, but justice. What is really right? These are four reasons, I believe. In all of these psalms, there are four reasons why we should worship the Lord, why we should praise his name. Psalm 101, verse 8, we'll go backwards. He is judge. Psalm 100, verse 5, he is good. Psalm 99, verse 9, he is holy. And Psalm 98, verse 9, he is coming again. Amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're there checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. We're excited to announce that our Calvary Worship Center online store is now available at cwccs.org. You can order shirts, Pastor Al's books, music, and more. Every purchase goes back into the ministry to further the gospel and help support this radio ministry. Just go to our website at cwccs.org and click on the store tab and make your purchase today. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.